Orson, hi. I just want to say before we begin what a huge fan I am. Citizen Kane changed my life.
Is that why you're directing voice actors in children's animated cartoon pictures now? I caused this?
We're all just really big fans of your work, is all.
Fine. I'm only doing this to fund my new project. It's an old Samoan adaptation of The Taming of the Shrew. Now, what is this garbage I'm meant to be reading for you today?
Well, it's called Garfield and Friends. It's a cartoon spin-off of the popular comic strip. We'd like you to start off with the commercial rejoinders. Top of page one.
Fine. We now return to Garfield and Friends.
Sorry, that was,
What? What was wrong with that?
Yeah, it's just, could you emphasize the Garfield? He's sort of the star of the show. The Friends aren't quite as important.
But it's... Of course they are. If you're calling the show Garfield and Friends, it's obvious the Friends are just as important. It stands to reason, ipso facto.
Well, I mean, we only thought... You know what? It's fine. You're right.
Of course I'm right. I'm an auteur, you silly man. My commercial rejoinders are without parallel. When Orson Welles tells you, now we return to Garfield and Friends, you'd better damn well believe we're returning to Garfield and Friends, and no mistake.
Yes, let's move on from that, Orson. Try reading for the cat, page four.
For this Garfield? Very well. I hate Mondays. Go away, Odie. Where is my lasagna? This cat, it's a cat, isn't it? I have no reference here. He's quite gluttonous then, quite a large cat.
Well, I guess it's a very popular comic.
Well, you may not have noticed this, as it's a fairly subtle fact. But I'm not exactly svelte myself these days. The man you saw in Kane and Amberson's was consumed, the late-night comedians tell me, by a much larger man. I've tried my best to conceal this fact with the finest capes money can buy, but the fact remains, I'm not in any way small. You may want to you want me to read for this large cat? Well, it's insulting is what it is.
Orson, no, Garfield is the star, you see. We want to be sure that our most esteemed cast member tries reading for our most important part.
Quite the lasagna fiend, this feline. I thought tomatoes were poisonous for cats.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast. Episode 141, featuring Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham, with Laura Woodard and the Sarcastic Voyage unpaid voice acting players.
Yes, hi, hello.
How... You know what? I don't care how people are.
You do. You care.
How are you, Al?
They just can't answer me. I'm swell. My automobile of 8 years has just decided to die on me, so that happened.
So
that's all.
Do you know what happened to it?
It died. It is no longer alive. It is, you know, all those other things from the Dead Parrot sketch.
Join that choir, Invisibule.
I don't know. A bunch of guys talk down to me because I don't know about cars, and you know that great feeling when you're a guy and you don't know about cars, and car guys talk to you, and they say, well, if I was you, I'd take better care of my Framistat. Yeah, well, you're not me, or you'd wash your fucking hands. Actually,
yeah, well, if I were you, I'd have that skin disease taken care of.
I'd say that, but everyone was very pleasant to me. It's just that my engine's shot, and that sucks. And that the sarcastic utility vehicle may be no more.
The sarcastic battle van?
Yes. With actual battle damage.
Yes.
Now I have to take the decals off, or decals, as you say.
You mean the decals?
Yes, that is what you call them. I still can't tell if that's a hilarious mispronunciation or an accent.
I'm not sure. Because the more I thought about it, the more I realized that I might be the only person who says it that way.
The thing is, there are certain words that we just read and never say out loud, mm-hmm. and never hear out loud. And it's possible you just think they're said a certain way because you've never heard anyone say them.
Well, I mean, like, I didn't... Like, how often do you hear the word decal?
Well, never. Until I talk to you, I've heard the word decal lots.
You know, in the last couple of years, quite a lot, actually.
Well, mostly between fits of laughter from me going, ah, decal. Ah! The thing is, decal sounds very sort of American-y, like, ugh, maybe we ruined that word. Mm. And that kind of gives me pause. Like, maybe it is Deckel. Maybe we just fucked it up.
I know that I prefer the sound of the word Deckel.
Yeah, I agree. Although it is a bit like Britta saying bagel instead of bagel.
You know what? If that's the sacrifice I have to make, then I'm okay with that.
That is the community character you most resemble? Britta?
Man.
Come on, Matt. Don't Britta this up.
I really hope not.
I really thought we were angling for Troy and Abed, but if you're Britta, that makes me, what, Pierce?
Oh, man. Actually, that makes a lot of sense, too.
Oh!
You are the old racist.
Well, that is true. And I do make moist towelettes. If there's two things you know about me, I get an old truck in my driveway that doesn't drive anymore, and I make moist towelettes.
Had an old truck in his driveway that he used to like to work on.
No, I don't know how to work on it because I don't take care of my Framistat, apparently.
Well, maybe you need your Framistat.
I don't know. What's the
measures the framatological readings coming from both from within and without the car.
Listen, if I could run a level 1 diagnostic on my car, it would work perfectly. And I could reconfigure the warp nacelles to emit a low-level tachyon pulse, and so on. That kind of technobabble I can do, but real-life, like, car technobabble, I cannot do.
So, like, by that logic, does that mean the nacelles are putting out time travel energy?
Yes. Yes, you totally caught me there. Also, chronotons.
Chronotons make me hungry for Cinnabon.
Chronotons make me hungry for croutons.
Croutons make me hungry for grilled brats.
Also, I wonder if you say croutons.
No, croutons I've never had the need to say.
In keeping with the whole Deckel thing.
Although croutons is much funnier to say than crouton.
Because it sounds like cretin.
You there! You're bring me more croutons!
You cretin! Bring me more croutons. How delightful.
I think the correct word pronunciation should be, how decadent do you sound when you're requesting something?
Oh, well, that, you know, that's, I think Paula Tompkins has covered that. It's the whole fanciness thing.
Yes.
But I do think that we could avoid covering the same ground he's covered. I'm thinking maybe our next year's bonus book needs to be The Sarcastic Voyage Guide to Pronunciation.
Repeat after me.
How to sound like a fancy lad.
Deckel. Deckel. Matt applied the Deckel to the back of his computer.
Why are you putting Deckels on the back of your computer? No wonder it doesn't work.
I put like 3 Deckels on the back of my
computer. What are they?
I got a Scott Pilgrim one.
Yeah.
I got a Bioshock one.
Yeah.
And I got the Post-Atomicora one.
Okay, I was going to say, is any of those ours? Because I've heard Scott Pilgrim's podcast and it's not very good.
You just don't like it because all he does is talk about Nintendo games you don't remember.
Well, I never played Nintendo until very recently.
See, there you go.
And then I only played Mario and Punch-Out.
Those games are a lot of fun.
Yeah, but that's all I played.
You're short of Mega Man, but otherwise.
I'm going to mutter until this goes away, because this is one of your subjects, and I don't want... Hey, so I was recording in my closet last weekend. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about that.
Well, that's pretty much it. No, I've been... Bob actually very graciously sent me a book on home recording, how to build a home recording studio, that sort of thing, which was very nice of him. I've been talking for a long time about wanting to make the show sound a little better. Mm-hmm. That's on my list. Like, we got certain things taken care of, and the next thing is maybe making the sound a little better.
Yes.
And he's offered me a lot of technical advice, and he's like, you know what? Here, take this book. This dumbs it down a little better. Bob and I have always had a problem with he tends to techno, but there's a theme running here. Mm-hmm. It's technobabble and me do not mix.
Look, if you're introducing tachyons into your podcasting, there's a reason that we're not doing very well.
That's possible. We're doing fine. We're
recording from, like, the distant past when there were no podcasts.
But there were certainly airplanes.
Yep.
Sons of bitches.
Shoot them with your bazooka.
I will shoot them with my bazooka. My plane-shooting bazooka. No, Bob sent me this, and it's not, like, recording for dummies. It's just, it's written by voice actors who built recording studios in their homes, so it's written more from a, for lack of a better word, talent perspective rather than technical perspective.
And I've heard of like, home recording studios for voice actors before, too.
No, and the thing is, the best way to do it is to have a lot of money and to have an actual proper studio built, which obviously, no.
Not an option quite yet.
Not yet. I mean, maybe, you know, everyone's Kickstarter crazy right now. Maybe I could try that, but I doubt it. Plus,
maybe you could turn your car into it.
Well, it ain't going anywhere.
Exactly.
I actually briefly considered getting some kind of one of those mobile homes or something, like one of those very small trailers. Because I got a long driveway and I could park it there and like soundproof it and stuff.
Algar and the Very Small Trailer may be the worst children's book ever.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't think of the worst children's book ever, but I assure you, there are worse.
Algar and the Very Small Non-Functioning Trailer.
For one thing, the Berenstain Bears are worse.
I discovered a fun game you can play if you're a fan of both the Berenstain Bears, and it's always funny in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yes, you mentioned that, but please tell the listeners.
All of the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia have these very flat, like, this is a description of what is happening in the episode. The first episode.
I think they're kind of picking up the ball from, like, Friends, the one where this.
Yeah.
Only it's a little sillier.
So, like, off the top of my head, the first couple of episodes include stuff like the gang gets racist.
Right.
The gang has an abortion. The gang finds a dumpster baby.
Right.
I find that if you replace the words the gang with the Berenstain Bears, you have the best game ever.
I don't know that it's the best game ever, but definitely top three.
You have the best game that you can play while watching an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
All right.
Now, really, how many games of those are there?
I don't know.
Think of two.
I assume that there's a drinking game because there's always a drinking game.
Yeah.
No, you had mentioned in one of your little Twitter rants that you have where I assume you're at hour 12 at work and you want to say what's on your mind to curb the madness, which I appreciate, or maybe you're on hour 6 on the bus. You had mentioned that the Berenstain Bears have taken a bit of a more fundamentalist turn lately.
Oh, yeah. Now you were bringing this up. I wanted to talk about this, too.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to steer you into a minute ago when you went to Philadelphia.
I was, at Chapters, I do the shelving and stuff, and we spent the last week doing inventory in the kids section. And I keep finding all these Berenstain Bears books that, like, I read, you know, when I was little.
Sure.
And there's all these new ones that are like, the Berenstain Bears celebrate God's love. The Berenstain Bears go to Sunday school.
The Berenstain Bears tear down the golden calf.
The Berenstain Bears protest a gay wedding.
Now, here's the thing. Berenstain says to me, those ain't Christian bears.
Jewish bears.
Yes. Which, I'm not. That's certainly not a judgment. I'm just saying that sounds like a Jewish name, and why would they be Christian? It seems like they should be Jewish.
Yep, and yet, it's like those Christian Archie comics they used to put out in the 70s.
You mean Chick Tract?
No. Have you never seen the old Christian Archies? We used to get them in at the comic store all the time.
No, and if they're from the 70s, those are the comics that I grew up on. Like, when I first started reading, I read Archie comics from the 70s, and they didn't have any. Like, were they special ones, or were they just...
Yeah, like...
They were in the main book.
I guess Archie, like, licensed their characters to God.
Okay.
Resulting in, like, these very... I think they were called, like, Star Con... Or not Star, that was their kid line or something.
No, that was Marvel's kid line.
Yeah, that's right. With Petey Planet or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, they had Alf, and they
had... Yeah, Alf.
Muppet Babies. And others, the rest.
Lil Daredevil.
Yes.
Baby Wolverine goes to market. No, but, like, and they were all about, like, just these very weird, random...
The thing is, there's nothing, I mean, Archie, apart from the fact that he wants to kiss girls, like, there's never any sex in there. Like, they're fairly wholesome to begin with.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine godding that up even more.
But, I mean, like, all they do then is that there'll be these sort of weird, thinly veiled parables about, like, you know, Jesus was a pretty swinging cat, and...
All right, that's fine.
It was pretty awesome when he would come by. Let's go on a picnic.
So I'm imagining there weren't a lot of appearances by Sabrina the Teenage Witch in the
Christian No, she was burned at the stake in a very early issue.
Of course. So anyway, I was recording in my closet.
Sure.
No, the two options, to bring it back, the two options are to build a recording studio in your home, which, even if I had the money, I don't have the space. This is a very tiny house.
Right. I mean, you just moved.
Yeah. Or they actually suggested, you know, to cut costs, record in the closet. Like, a closet is a small space that is basically soundproof, and, even if you leave the clothes in there, you get some nice sound insulation, and it made sense to me.
Yeah.
Now, this is a very, very small house. There are two of us and lots of stuff. And Amanda has very graciously given me an entire room to do my recording in. But as a result, the closet in that room has all my worldly possessions in it.
Right.
To record in it, I had to move everything and throw a bunch of stuff away. And just it took the better part of an afternoon. It took probably 4 hours.
Right.
And I got in there, closed the door, hit record, and I got this hiss. Just horrible, horrible hiss. And it's like the door is completely closed. It's not the fan for my computer because I led the computer's out in the other room. I led the cable in under the door. Mm. I don't know. There must be snakes in there with me.
Right. Closet snakes.
Or possibly the microphone I'm using is from the Snake Mountain playset, which itself is a snake, the microphone.
I assume that would just make you, welcome to this post-atomic horror podcast.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But it was very frustrating because
That would be awesome.
If I were Skeletor?
Yeah.
You'd get sick of that real quick.
No, I don't think so.
He's only got about a 100-word vocabulary, and most of those words are things like simpering dolt.
So how is that different from our current podcasting relationship?
Well, I'm nice to the guests.
That's true.
I don't want to call the guests simpering
our
dolt.
Our guest today is Beast Man.
I don't remember anything about him. I remember what his voice sounds like, and I remember that he said simpering dolts and, you know, buffoon and all those things. But otherwise, no idea.
Also, Christmas made him a good person.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
And when he got hit in the chest, he got battle damage.
I do remember that. Like,
that
my car.
Thing, that thing was so friggin' cool.
It was. He-Man had one, too.
Yeah, I have no idea why you would get giant dents in your chest, but there you are.
Because they're wearing metal armor.
I mean, I guess, but, like, still.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like,
also, he had frog feet.
He had frog feet?
Yeah, he had, like, those weird... If you were an evil...
No, he had Dan Aykroyd webbed toes, is what he had.
There you go.
To bring it completely back. All right, that's about enough foolishness.
Man, I'm Dan Aykroyd.
I think we're going to take a break and hear some bits.
My
now.
Head is full of vodka.
That's... We're not going to top that, folks. We'll be right back.
Darn this rapidly failing economy. I've been forced to sell all my possessions in order to feed my children, including my clothes. How will I go out in public to scrounge in the gutters for pennies?
And what will I, a formerly well-off robber baron, do to indicate my new status, now that the economy has taken everything from me?
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Formerly Affluent America. Has this 1930s economy got you down? Are you remembering a time when you weren't forced to wander the streets wearing only what our good Christian God sent you out of your mother wearing? Well, your fortune has arrived. Figuratively. From Transient's Choice, the makers of the Utilibindle, the fingerless gloves, and the gloveless fingers, comes the strapped shoulder barrel for the fashionable bum.
Wow!
Made from 100% pressed wood product in real imitation leather suspenders, the strapped shoulder barrel will perfectly cover your shameful nakedness while presenting the world with the message you wish to convey. I am so destitute that I can only afford to wear this barrel.
Thanks to the strapped shoulder barrel, I no longer need to worry about what to wear in the morning. I can get back to what I really love, dying of a combination of starvation and alcoholism.
You'll be saying, Shem, wow.
No, you won't.
Oh.
Order now and receive at no additional charge this handsome crotch-level spigot. Order now. Call 555-BARREL. Operators are standing by, large flaming oil drums warming their hands. That's Klondike 5-BARREL. Transient's Choice is not responsible for fire, splinters, crotch rot, barrel spiders, or construction site-based ape attacks.
From Hollywood, the newlywed capital of the world, here come the newlyweds. And now let's meet our newlywed couples for today. Couple number one, from the Dothraki hordes beyond Westeros, it's Drogo and Daenerys.
My son and Stella says thank you.
And couple number two, from a cocoon hovering in an undisclosed location just outside the Venture compound, say hello to the Monarch and Dr. Mrs. the Monarch.
Thank you, it's delightful to be here.
Oh, why are we doing this? I wanted to go on The Price is Right!
Calm down, sweet. This will be fun.
Now, here's the host of the newlywed game, Bob Eubanks.
Thank you, Johnny. All right, we separated the husbands earlier, and now we're going to ask some questions. Everybody ready?
All right, let's play. Daenerys, we asked Drogo where the two of you are most likely to make whoopee.
Oh, that's easy. On a horse.
That's correct, for $500. Now over to you two. Dr. Mrs. the Monarch, same question. Where do you and your husband usually make whoopee?
This question is ridiculous. What is make whoopee? I can only assume you mean where do I most often f*** my wife.
Monarch, we went through this a minute ago. Let's give your wife a chance to answer now.
Well, jeez, I gotta go with him here on the whole making whoopee thing. But that said, and knowing him like I do, I'm gonna guess that he answered in a p***. I don't think he meant a cat either, if you know what I'm saying, honey.
She means her vagina.
Bit of an unconventional answer, but yes, correct. Daenerys, back to you. What meal do the two of you enjoy eating together?
Probably horse?
Correct. All right, back to you two. Dr. Mrs. The... Is there a shortened form of your name we can maybe use?
Not really, no.
Enough of this! The hour is nigh! My carefully planned research has told me that now, 11:15 p.m. on Thursday night, is when my sworn nemesis, Dr. Thaddeus Venture, is most likely to be watching the Game Show Network! Turn those cameras toward me or feel the sting of the mighty monarch! Now hear me, Venture, you have 2 hours!
Sweetie.
Not now, Pookums, I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah, but,
What your wife is trying to tell you, Monarch, is that this is not going out live. We're taping this for later broadcast.
Oh, fine. I guess I'll sit here and listen to those two say horse a few more. Jumping Jesus! Look at those two! They're f***ing right there on the set!
Please say making whoopee.
No!
Doggy style, too. How did I even manage that in these cramped circa 1978 final booths?
Oh, that's how they all do it. Doggy is like missionary in Westeros.
All right, Orson, let's take it from Nermal.
Nermal, get away from that, if anything.
Sorry, Orson, we're having a bit of a hard time. If you could please just take the cigar out of your mouth.
I don't see how it matters. The writing on this program is atrocious.
Yes, well, we work with what we have, Awesome.
It's also the more I look this material over, it seems quite similar to a show called Heathcliff, of which I'm a great fan. Listen to this. I have a tape recorder with me on my person, at the considerable expense of my personal comfort, I can assure you. This is 1984, after all. It's not easy for a man to carry an audio recording around with him in this day and age, but this is delightful. Listen to this.
Yes, that's,
Now that is a show. Do you know what Heathcliff is about? It's all about this streetwise cat who spends most of his time trying to turn a dustbin over onto people's heads. That's fantastic. This is garbage. I mean, listen to this. I'm going to mail you to Abu Dhabi.
This isn't Heathcliff, Orson. Jim Davis has created a more soft, cuddly alternative to the usual alley cat character. He's lazy, he's a bit mean to the other pets, but he's ultimately lovable. And, of course, we have the friends in Garfield and Friends.
Yes, who are the friends in Garfield and Friends? Pray enlighten me.
Yes, well, if you turn to the back half of the script, you'll see. We were going to have you read for some of those later on.
Well, let's see here. You have an egg that walks around on its own. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Then you have this pig character whose name... No!
I can't do it. No amount of money is worth it. No amount of money is worth this. My integrity is a fine...
Jim, I'm reporting live from the 37th annual Warlockageddon, the third most popular science fiction and fantasy convention in North America. Turns out comic books aren't just for kids anymore. And this reporter took a little trip to this world of pustized man-children to uncover the secret identities of some would-be local heroes. First up is this gentleman, Mr. Walt Carnage.
That's Carnage.
Carnage.
No, it's Carnage. My parents changed it when they came to this country, and then they changed it again. And now it's Carnage.
Uh-huh. And you're here to see Spider-Man.
What? Hell no. I can't stand this neo-corporate bourgeois populist claptrap. I'm an artist.
Really? What kind of art do you make?
Oh, I haven't finished anything. A real artist doesn't do art. He feels art.
Why are you here?
It's ironic.
Moving on. You, sir. You're dressed as a panther?
I'm Manimal. I'm Manimal.
And you're dressed as some kind of turkey?
It's a hawk.
Oh.
Gary, I specifically told you on Manim AOL that I was coming to this con in costume.
I'm sorry, what is Manim AOL?
Only the number 2 Manimal website in the world.
And once we take over cuttothejonathanchase.com, we'll be number 1.
Yeah, I came here for Black Hole merchandise and personnel, only to find it criminally underrepresented. Where will all the Black Holigans like myself go?
I'm just here for the Siffy panel on Croctopus versus Martika.
I remember I said to George, the fans are gonna want to see the original Boba Fett and the role he made great. You don't need any of this clone shit, you need me. 100% actual Fett! And he looked at me, and when George Lucas looks at you, man, he really looks at you, and he says to me, he says, "Who are you?" And I said, "George, we can make this movie. You and me, George." And his security team tased me for 45 minutes.
Where the hell's all the Ghost Dad stuff?
Hi, I'm a podcaster, a Canadian subject, and the resident media expert on Captain Canuck. Did you know that Captain Canuck has the same powers as Captain America, only 45% more polite, and he solves his problems through prayer?
Jesus H. Christ. I haven't done anything new for a while. I'm just here with my usual entourage of hot Asian chicks. Just chilling. No big deal.
I'm Dr. Frankenstein. No, I'm not in a costume. I'm the actual doctor. I'm looking for a human penis.
Sir, we can't talk about those kinds of horrible sex acts on television.
What? Ew! No, don't be gross. I just want to staple it to a corpse. You're yucky. Go.
I was looking for Jesus, but I guess he left.
Seriously? No Cleopatra 2525 merchandise. Nothing. What kind of a rinky-dink, dinky-roo, stinky-poo... Where was I going with this?
That's right, I created Spider-Man, and the Fantastic Four, and the Incredible Hulk.
That's funny, because I created all those guys, and the Silver Surfer. And I regularly beat Jack Kirby liberally about the head and neck with a rubber pipe.
You're a goddamn liar, sir. I hit him with my belt. And I threatened to have Steve Ditko reported to the House Un-American Activities Committee.
Yeah, well, I told John Romita that if he didn't work faster, I'd force-feed him John Romita Jr.
Now, sir, they tell me you're dressed as Hollow Man. Sir? Hello? Balls. Oh, and what are you dressed as?
I'm an amalgam of a number of bear-related characters. Ursa Major from Marvel Comics, Yogi Bear, the Berenstain Bears, Kissy Fur, and of course Smokey.
You're standing uncomfortably close to me.
I skipped lunch. Smelled delicious.
Oh, God. Not again.
We're celebrating our neighbors to the north, Canada, this month at McBurgerty's. That's right, get excited! It's time for our once-a-year limited edition Squozin' Moose Juice! We take the finest Canadian moose, squeeze them until our hands are raw and blistered, and dribble out the sweet moosey innards into a 40-ounce Uber Slurp Cup. Free Squozin' Moose Juice replacement with every order of our Uber Munch Combo. It's super!
Why suffer through 11 months without the vitamin nutrients that come from a refreshing Squozin' Moose? Certain fast food restaurants only let us loose the moose once a year. Who are they to dictate your moose intake?
But I can't squoze no moose myself. They use fancy city equipment. I ain't got nothing but my hands. And them mooses can kick with them head branches.
That's right, Ellen Jean. Moose are imposing, dangerous people who aren't happy to be part of your balanced diet. That's where our Loose the Moose juicer comes in. With the finest Samoan craftsmanship, we free you from the tyranny of limited time offers. It's easy. You just take your moose and feed it into the handy moose hole. And in just 2 hours, the squozing process is complete. The excess moose is deposited into 5 convenient trash bags for easy disposal, and you've got a milky glass of moosely delight. Loose the Moose!
And we're back. And Laura's with us.
Hey, Laura.
Hi. Hi, y'all.
Look at that! She said hi. We didn't spend 5 minutes trying to get her to say something and then trying to figure out how to introduce. See, you know how to do this.
Mm-hmm. I'm a podcast professional.
Oh, yes. Maybe that's why.
Professionality.
Maybe that's why. Maybe we need to start bringing on people with podcasting experience, because these other guests end up being great, but at first they're like, oh, is this my time to talk when you said my name? Yes. Yes, it is.
When we when we say your name, it's time to talk.
When I say hey,
turn the page.
You say ho. Ho? Just once. Just once I'd like all the ladies in the house to say ho when I say hey, but it's never going to happen.
I would do it. Try.
Next Emerald City, we'll try it.
Yeah, I mean, I not to diminish you in any way, but the effect is really lost when there's only one lady in the house.
I'm lady enough for lots of people.
But can you do like the multiple voice thing? Can you do like the Tuvan throat singer thing where you like?
Oh no, I can't do that.
That's the thing. We need like a crowd of ladies to say it.
All the ladies in the house go.
I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, not without more beer.
No.
Do we want to go a little drunken time travel for a sec and tell the people what you're drinking, or does it matter? Does it have a hilarious name?
No, it's not really. It's a Shiner Blonde.
Ah, very well.
Which a lot of people in the Northeast will be jealous because they can't get Shiner, and so...
I'm familiar with the Bock because the girl I dated in Texas was quite fond of it, but...
Yeah, Shiner's a good beer.
You're familiar with the Bock?
Yes, Bach.
The composer?
He was a composer, exactly.
All right.
He also made beer. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Why don't we answer some mail?
Mail.
Sounds like a good plan.
All right. First one comes from John Wiggins, and he says, if threatened by several zombie babies crawling towards you, how would you proceed to kill the babies, assuming you had any weapon you chose at your disposal?
Didn't we do this one?
I don't think we did.
I feel like we've done it one before about zombie babies.
It's possible. You might be thinking of Jim Henson's Zombie Babies, which was a very popular show in the 80s. Mm,
no, that's right. I always enjoyed when they went off on hilarious tangents to movies that were also about zombies.
Right.
They saw Darth Zombie.
Hmm?
They saw Darth Zombie all the time.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I think they got the rights to Darth Zombie, and they wanted to use him as often as possible.
Yeah.
The one where they fought the zombie blob.
So that's why Nanny's socks were always green. With the stripes, because of green.
They were rotting?
Yes.
Oh, nice. I wasn't quite following that there, but that's fantastic. Well, now I just want to see that.
Some rot socks?
Rot socks, yes. No, Jim Henson's zombie, although then that just makes me think of Jim Henson being dead, and that makes me sad. That's not what I meant by that at all.
Isn't it like his birthday today or something?
It's his death day today.
His death day, that's it.
As we record this, I think it's 22 years since he died.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, it does. I've been watching a lot of old Muppet shows lately because I saw the movie and I liked it, and just going back. And so I was like, man, this guy was great.
He was great.
Yeah, he was.
That show was weird, and I respect that.
Yep. Anyway, zombie babies. Do you guys got anything on this one? Laura, how about you?
I wouldn't kill zombie babies because, what are they going to do, crawl to you and gum on you?
That's true.
They're babies. They don't have teeth. They're not very... they're just kind of...
Now, Matt, you know more about this kind of thing than I do, the whole monster thing. Do zombies grow? Like, would they grow to zombie adults?
No, they would always stuck be babies? Babies.
They'd just be babies forever.
Yeah, the aging process is...
I assumed that, but I don't know.
No, they would stay that way until they rotted.
So, according to Laura, they're harmless. And according to you, they won't age, so they'll always be harmless.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you might as well just let them run.
Yeah.
Gotta put them in the zoo.
Fair enough.
You can put, like, a little leash on them or whatever, let them run around in the backyard.
Like a tether?
Yeah.
Play zombie baby tetherball with them?
Oh my god, that would be so much fun.
Well, especially since I don't think they feel pain.
No.
It sounds cruel, but I don't think they feel it.
It sounds hilarious.
Well, we also have a mother here, Matt, and I'm trying to be a little sensitive to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it does.
Still,
look
tethered
funny.
Zombie babies.
I'm okay with tethered zombie babies as long as they're not getting batted around.
Well, like I said, I don't think they feel it.
I know, but I couldn't watch that.
That's fair.
I would feel bad.
All right, fair enough. Next one comes from a new listener named Surreal. And he says, "Dear sirs, I have recently come across your selections of podcasts and have so far been enjoying them quite a bit."
Oh, that's nice.
"I do have one concern, however. I repeatedly hear you speak of comedy gold, and yet you do not inform us, the listening public, as to the purity of said comedy gold. Is it an impressive 24 carats or a measly 18 carats? Does it come in coin form, chain, or an even better medallion on a chain as seen on Dr. McCoy? We, the listening public, deserve to know the truth as to what you are providing us. Yours, intoxicated, Surreal."
I like the idea of comedy gold bling.
Yeah?
Like
would it be comedic bling? Would it be like a gold-plated Groucho glasses?
I could see that, yes.
Fair enough.
Maybe like an oversized novelty clock hanging from your neck?
That would be all right. Is that bling? I don't know, because...
That's not shiny enough to be bling, right?
Like, that's classic bling.
No, I mean, that's classic oversized novelty grapper prop, but I don't think that it's bling exactly.
I mean, maybe if it was gold and diamond studded or something.
That's the thing. I think it was just like a kitchen clock.
I guess that was back when rappers weren't, like, as rich as they are now.
Right, and Flav is about as ghetto as they come, and he'll admit that himself.
Mm.
I don't think it was, although he does have gold-encrusted teeth. So, what do I know?
Well, then wouldn't everything taste like gold?
I think so, yeah.
What a sad life he has.
What do you know about comedy alchemy?
Not a whole lot. I mostly stay with the platinum with my comedy alchemy stuff.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe a nice, like, white, like a silver, almost, like a comedy silver.
That is classier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, platinum, you know, you can't go wrong with platinum.
No, comedy gold always seems too ostentatious to me.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I just think it's classic. I just think it's very classy and muted. Like, I don't go, you know, overly showy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful not to get too gaudy with your comedy gold.
Right, exactly. Although comedy jewels, you can go nuts with those.
Well, you still want to keep it in check.
Comedy jewels sounds like a really bad, like FM DJ. Sort of like the crappy version of Dr. Demento. Coming up next, it's Comedy Jewels.
I'm just picturing like a comedic version of Jewel reading terrible poetry.
Oh my god.
Alright, next one comes from my good lady wife.
Oh.
And she
apparently
writes,
it was too hard to just yell at you from across the room.
I guess. No, she had a nice question and I said, "You should send that to the show. This requires a bit of discussion." And she says, "While listening to the most recent Sarcastic Voyage, before any of these suckers got it, you were speaking to the handsome and talented Ed Casey regarding the severing of dog penises giving Bob Barker nigh eternal youth." I think it was dog testicles, actually. "It seems as though Robert Downey Jr. has taken supporting the severing of cat penises, and it's a well-known fact that he's getting hotter as he gets older. Is this a coincidence or a celebrity spay and neutering conspiracy? Yours," and she signs it Fitz, but her name's not Fitz. It's a man.
Your name isn't Fitz.
No.
So, I'll call her Fitz.
No, no, you can't do that.
I'm the boss.
Amanda cannot be rewarded for her actions.
Yeah, no, she doesn't get a nickname. It is forbidden. You can be the boss about just about every other thing, but this, she can't have a nickname. It's like one of those cosmic rules.
Oh, fine.
It's not my rule. I just have a lot of fun enforcing it.
What's her other preferred nickname? Incredibly tall, Amanda?
Yes, something like that. So, the whole thing is, Bob Barker, we talked about this briefly, stayed young for a really long time. Like, he had black hair, and then suddenly one day he had white hair.
Yes.
And he supported, his big cause was spaying and neutering your pets. And she's right now, Robert Downey Jr., that's his cause.
Mm-hmm.
And he is getting hotter as he gets older, as he has acknowledged his own self.
Right.
Is there a connection between spaying and neutering pets?
And
staying eternally young? Actually, Laura, you've worked in an animal hospital before, so you would know this.
I have. No, there's no connection.
No.
You don't get, like, a lot of aging celebrities sneaking in at night?
Well, I wouldn't know.
Rubbing discarded bits on themselves to, like, de-age themselves?
We pretty much threw the discarded bits in the garbage.
Well, I hope you put it in a baggie or something.
I mean, celebrity-proof baggie.
Yes.
Not really. They just went in a normal garbage thing, and the garbage went out.
Gah.
And
really?
So celebrities could have been going through our garbage. I don't, you know, it's possible. But as far as I know, there's no correlation.
Huh.
Hmm. I think this goes deeper than we know. I think we may need to investigate this further.
Well, we should set up a camera.
The aging celebrities.
Set up a camera outside an animal clinic and watch the garbage.
That's... I think it'd be hard to find someone who would want to watch that tape.
Yeah, I.
Because I certainly don't.
No, not it. We'll have to get some minions to take care of that. But
we'll get extremely tall Amanda to take care of that.
Yeah, there we go. But if Eternal Youth is involved, maybe.
I'm sort of not interested in Eternal Youth.
Yeah, I kind of am.
Well, you can have it then.
I mean, I'm old, Matt. So
go rub a duck penis in your face and tell
no, it's not
better.
They don't cut off their penises. Come on, don't be crude.
Yeah.
They cut off their testicles.
Oh, okay. Well, excuse me.
Obviously. Come on now, don't be inaccurate.
It will make your hair bone white, though.
Well, yes, it will do that. Hey, speaking of dogs, here's
you get some Leland Palmer syndrome there.
Here's a question about your dog.
Oh.
From Gay Scott. He says, "How are you? I am so fine. Yeah, really, baby.
You know what? Just let him go with it.
Are we doing the Austin Powers thing again?
Apparently he's coming back.
I hope not.
I've been hearing a lot more Austin Powers references lately.
It's still not funny.
No, I know. I'm just saying I've been hearing them again.
Those of us who had awful, like, Michael Scott bosses who just wouldn't stop with the Austin Powers references, they completely killed it. It was such a funny movie, and just, it's not anymore.
It didn't hurt that it was also killed by Austin Powers 3.
I liked Austin Powers 3.
All right.
He says, "We have not heard much from Paisley the podcasting puppy. How is she doing? Is it true that she's developing her own podcast with Kevin Smith's dog?"
I would listen to that podcast.
Of course you would.
A lot of high-pitched yapping.
How is your dog?
She's fine.
How's your dog?
She's developed an extremely irritating yap that can be heard from all over the neighborhood, making us extremely popular.
I don't doubt it.
In fact...
No, don't make your dog yap. Don't do it.
No, she's not out there.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm actually surprised that Checkers hasn't, like, scratched down the door because it is dinner time.
Bacon is here.
Ah, right. You have the bacon cat.
Mm-hmm.
Which, is it a cat made from bacon, or is it a bacon that walks like a cat? I'm not sure I understand.
Well, this was her name. Apparently when she was a kitten, she smelled like bacon.
Really?
Yes. And so she...
Smell like bacon?
She doesn't now, but she did.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool superpower for a cat.
Yeah.
Not for me. I wasn't too fond of it.
Yeah, and you're well on the record as being not a huge fan of bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, I don't like it at all.
Wow.
I was waiting for some sparks there, but it sounds like you're not going to take that any further. That's probably wise, Matt.
Mm-hmm. I feel so.
All right. Next one comes from Scott Zioko, and it's only a couple of sentences long.
You're kidding.
No. And this is
from Scott Zioko?
Yeah, in fact, because we have a Gmail account, and he has a Gmail account, it's got this little picture there, and that's definitely Scott with his little mustache.
So it is.
Hi, Scott. Hello. Hello, Scott. Hello.
Mustache Scott.
Howdy,
mustache,
y'all,
mustache
he says.
Comes with everything you see here.
Your parents put him together. His kids put him together. And he says, "Howdy, y'all. This question goes to your sophisticated Southern Belle guest." That's you, Laura.
Hey.
Does it bother you when non-Southerners use or say y'all? Do you think it's okay for a Missourian to use the term since we're sometimes considered the northernmost southern state or the southern more northern state, depending on who you ask? Looking forward to the answer to this question and something about sports that I'm not going to read.
I'm not a fan of when people that aren't from the South say y'all. It's weird.
Okay, what would you suggest that we use?
You guys.
You all.
You guys
hey, you.
Is okay, but I don't see. I feel like there's no official, like, proper word in English for you collective. We don't have that. Most languages have that, and we don't.
But it's you.
Yeah, but that it's very imprecise. Y'all kind of fills a niche where there was no word for that, an extra word for that, and you guys made one.
Yes, we did, because we're great.
But. In, like, the Northeast, for instance, in Pennsylvania, I lived in Philly for a couple of years, they say use. And
use?
Oh, God, I hate that. Can I help you?
Oh, God,
that's
really?
That's awful.
Yeah, if a waiter would come around and say, do you want anything else? I would, like,
oh,
immediately...
Oh, my God, that's awful.
I would immediately subtract, like, tip points.
I would immediately subtract tip
yes.
points and add punches to the face.
No, I generally don't punch waiters.
When I was living in Tennessee...
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. When I was living in Tennessee, we had a teacher in my elementary school who said yuns.
I've heard that one as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also
yuns.
Terrible.
Yeah.
And a teacher. No
yeah,
less.
A teacher. It was like a math teacher, so he didn't really know any better, but still.
But they're still college educated. They should know how to speak.
Yeah, it was Tennessee.
See, now before, when you said
take
we're the South,
Tennessee.
When you said we're the South, we're great, I didn't say anything. But when you're
oh,
gonna...
I meant the old Deep South. The
oh,
good
wow.
South.
How is Tennessee not the Deep South?
Because it's up there.
It's oh, up. Up there. It's still pretty South.
Well, see, and obviously, since I'm saying Tennessee is up there, Missouri is definitely not the South.
Yeah.
No.
You
sorry,
guys are
Scott.
So weird about that.
Well, there's, like, I don't even consider North Mississippi the South. I mean, it's the South, but it's not the real South.
Yeah, but then, like, Texas thinks you're a Yankee as well, so, you
no,
know.
No, Texas is just there on its own. They're not Southern, they're not Western, uh-huh. They're just,
that
they're
I
just
do
Texas.
Know.
Yeah, well, okay. But I've also heard them say that anything north of whatever river it is a Yankee.
I'm pretty much south of all the rivers.
No, of, like, whatever the border Texas is. I don't remember the name of the river offhand. But basically anything north of the Texas border is a Yankee. That's what they say.
Well, they're stupid.
All right.
Well, you heard it here first, folks.
I'm just glad I'm way up in this corner where none of that ever happened or mattered, and I'm just completely removed from all that now.
Yeah, you know what's really awesome? Being from the north.
Yes. No, being from the northwest, where we weren't part of that whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, we might be Yankees technically, but we weren't in that fight. That's not
yep.
us. We were nothing to do with it. So
nope.
We're immune. We're the west.
Yeah.
Also, we have balmy summers.
Sure.
And mountains.
And blue money.
Yes!
Well, you have that.
Blue and purple money, thank you.
Right.
Squeeze.
3D T-Rex money or something.
Some of it now has big clear windows on it.
You know.
Like you get.
It's your window to weight gain.
Jealous.
Eat more money. All right, next one comes from John Wiggins, and he says, why is Mr. Slown blocking me on Twitter? Whatever I did, perhaps Matt could do the same to avoid an untimely death. So I think he's suggesting that you block him on Twitter, Matt,
sounds
if I read this
me.
Correctly. Laura, any thoughts on that? Do you have any insights into Mr. Slown's...
I found Mr. Slown adorable, and I think he's great, and I hugged him.
I think all the girls did, oddly enough. We have
yeah, that
pictures
dude did
of,
really well at Emerald City.
Yeah, pictures of a lot of cute girls hugging Mr. Slown.
Mm-hmm. He sat on my lap for a while.
Well,
yep.
He'll do that. Mm-hmm. I don't think his eyes were on you, though. I'm just guessing.
No,
usually
no, I'm
he'll
sure
do
they
that
weren't.
Until moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's that guy that he's... Everyone was surprised by how big Mr. Slown was in person, and I kept trying to tell them he's huge. And
yep.
Now,
yeah, he's pretty big.
Yeah. You keep thinking, no, it's a stuffed clown. How big can it be? Quite big.
The answer is extremely large.
Yes. Quite large. Next one comes from Nick, who almost never writes to us and probably won't listen to this anyway. And he says, dear Matt and Laura, not Al, would you rather a third eye on the back of your head or a third arm on your back? Thanks, Nick.
Would I rather what?
A third eye on the back of your head.
Uh-huh.
Or a third arm on your back. Hmm. Laura, what do you think?
I'll take the eye.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to have
yeah.
hair there.
I know. I can cover it up and hide it, so I'm not weird.
Yeah, but you'd have hair in your eye all the time, and that's a horrible feeling.
I'll get, like, an eye cover.
An eye cover.
Or an eye patch.
No, not a patch, because I don't want one of those weird bands going across the other side of my face.
That would be
really?
Weird.
So just
be
a
all
cover.
Over that.
Like a, what, like a monocle?
Yes.
But like a fitted monocle, so it just like sticks on there.
Like a one-eye goggle.
Yes, exactly.
What would hold it on, though? Because you'd have an elastic thing holding it, and then you'd have the same problem as you have with the eye patch.
Adhesive.
There you go.
Which would stick
eye
to
adhesive.
Your hair?
No, it's special non-hair sticking adhesive.
Oh, Mm-hmm. Where do you get this special non-hair sticking adhesive?
The South.
Ah. Matt, what about you?
I gotta go with the eye on the back too.
Yeah.
You wanna borrow my adhesive?
Yes. The third arm would be very awkward, and I would have to get rid of all my shirts.
No, you just cut holes in your shirts.
I'm not cutting holes in my shirts.
You don't have scissors?
No.
Oh.
I don't live in the South. Where would I get scissors?
The East?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go get East scissors.
You don't want East scissors.
Yeah, now who's being crazy, Al? Jeez.
I guess me. And he's written a question here specifically for me. Dear Algar, would you rather be a fish or a bird? I think I'd rather be a dinosaur, which is a bird. Mm-hmm. Dinosaurs are a type of bird, as we now know.
I hate that.
Me too, but that's how it goes. So I would rather be a dinosaur.
Which dinosaur?
I don't know, because all the ones I learned don't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's
there's no Brontosaurus, and there's no Stegosaurus, and no,
there's no Stegosaurus?
There's no Triceratops.
Triceratops, that's the one.
What?
Yeah, there's no Triceratops anymore. Like, all the good ones that I learned are no longer exist.
Oh my god, that sucks!
I don't think there's a Pterodactyl anymore.
Oh, man!
Yeah, is it a Pteranodon, or is that gone too?
No, I think so.
Didn't you just go to Jurassic Park recently?
Well, it was closing, so we had to run through it really quick, and we didn't get to see a lot.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
All right. Next one comes from Flonk, and he says, Dear Laura, what is your favorite flavor of tin can? Do cans have flavor, or are you just tasting what the can used to contain? Your pal Flonk. P.S. How are your kids? Get it? Ha ha ha. Goat humor. Oh, man, I'm funny. Are you a goat?
I'm not a goat.
I think you're a goat.
Look around. I'm not a goat. On a roof?
I'm yes. not. I'm not on a roof, and I'm not a goat.
Can you give us a baa?
No, I'm not a goat.
But I can't tell if I don't compare your baa to like a goat baa.
I don't. I can't baa. Well,
what's a goat baa?
See, you just
like?
Did.
Well, see, it wasn't very goat-like, was it?
It was a bit goat-like.
I'm not a goat.
I think it's in the maybe column now. I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
I don't know. She said she wasn't on a roof.
Yeah, but that's just a Canadian goat. Canadian right. roof goats, but normal, like,
what,
American...
What, you're saying she'd just be a southern goat?
Yeah, like a southern bell goat.
Well, what do they stand on?
Plantations.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
All right. Are you on a plantation, Laura?
Not currently. I have been on suit? Plantations. No, I don't.
Like all goats?
What?
All southern goats apparently wear seersucker suits.
But she's a girl, so she'd wear one of those, like, big flowy dress things with the parasol.
Yeah, a lady seersucker suit.
Oh, very well.
No, no.
The goat sucker suit.
A chupacabra suit?
Yes. Are you a chupacabra?
No.
Are you
not
also a chupacabra?
Maybe.
Well, there's our episode title, El Cinco Cabra. So you're not... Well, I don't know, because Flonk knows you pretty well. He spent some time with you. I
know why he thinks I'm a goat. I don't know.
Is he maybe a goat, and he's trying to put up a smoke screen?
I would totally buy him being a goat.
Yeah, maybe he's...
I've seen his beard.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That is a goat beard.
Maybe that's a smoke screen.
Maybe so. Maybe he is a goat.
Or maybe... What is it? Pan is one of them. The half goat.
Oh, a fawn?
A fawn.
Yeah. Maybe either you or he or both of you. Maybe you're those things.
I think...
No, that's not Tolkien. That's C.S. Lewis.
There are only male fawns. There are no girl fawns.
Well, like a centaur, then, only with a goat. You're half pony, half goat, and half person.
That feels like the human part would be too heavy and the goat would keep tipping over.
Quite possibly. Did you just call Laura top-heavy?
Moving on.
All right, then. Hey, you said it, not me.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, next one comes from Ed Casey. I'm giving you an opportunity to swoon here, Laura, because
yeah.
I know you...
Ed. Okay. Not here.
That was definitely a swoon.
Yes. Greetings, I have burning questions. Also, some toast that is burning. I am a bad cook. Onward. Who would win in a fight? One, a man who is made entirely of bees, a sort of humanoid-shaped collective swarm of bees, not a bunch of bees inside a mechanical human suit. But theoretically, there's some sort of queen brain bee or a central power source that would be some sort of weakness, or a walrus. Two, a man with snakes for arms, the snakes are not poisonous, or a man with a crab for a head, the crab is roughly the size of a normal human, complete with legs and claws to scale. 3, B. Arthur, or Arthur, the anthropomorphic aardvark, not the tragic drug Dudley Moore character. Thank you for your time, be well, Ed.
Alright, from the top.
Man made of bees. Mm-hmm. Man with snakes for arms, or a man with crab for a head. Those are in the same category for some reason. Or B. Arthur, or Arthur.
Okay.
So those are your three choices. I know each choice sort of encompasses more than one choice.
See, okay, first of all, I would go with the walrus.
Definitely.
Because the man, because bees cannot sting through a walrus hide. Everyone knows that.
Okay.
Whereas walruses eat bees, so that would be a pretty quick fight.
I don't think that they do. I think that they put bees in their mouth, but I don't think they actually chew them.
No, dude, those tusks are there completely so that when they scale the side of a tree, mm-hmm. they sink the tusk into the beehive and suck out the bees inside.
Leaving the honey for bears.
Yes.
That's why bears and walruses are, like, symbiotic.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes total sense.
That's why all those people opened up those bear walrus farms back in the 80s.
Right. Those didn't do very well, though, because really, what do we do with that? Like, that's nature's perfect equation there. But we have nothing to do with it. We're not
really
part
of that.
It was
a really embarrassing amount of time for, you know, your bear walrus farmers who would just watch as bears and walruses got along quite well and provided nothing for humans.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I'm going to go with Arthur, but I'm actually going to sidestep and say Arthur, the sidekick of the tick.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem now.
Laura, what do you think?
I'm going to say the crab head guy.
Crab head guy, really?
Yeah.
Do you have any kind of reason for that? Or just
crab
instinct?
Claws are very, very sharp. And if you have giant crab, I mean, they can just, you know, pinch stuff and sever all sorts of crap.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen them do it.
On the other hand, I think we can do better than crab people.
They never did. Next email comes from Candace Shee, and it says, "Dear owner of SarcasticVoyage.com, my name is Candace. I am the webmaster of ChinesePrinting.cn and WholesaleBagsBest.com."
Oh, Bags Best. I thought it said Bag Beast.
Yes. Bag Beast, man. We would like to exchange links with you. We will put your link exactly on ChinesePrinting.cn. If you were interested, and in exchange, we're supposed to put this bags site on our site. We specialize in wholesale bags. Our business includes paper bags wholesale, shopping bags wholesale, gift bags wholesale, promotional bags wholesale, beach bags wholesale, etc.
So, bags and best regards, dot, dot, dot.
Yes. So this Chinese bag factory mm-hmm. thinks that some good synergy would happen if their customers came to us and we sent people to them. I guess.
That makes sense. We're well known for the amount of people who listen to our show who also like bags.
Well, this is because you didn't offer tote bags.
That may be why.
That's
these
true.
These are all paper, though. These are all paper bags.
They have paper tote bags now.
Do they?
They do.
Yeah.
Is that like, I mean, I've seen like the hemp ones for like recycled guys, but.
They're thick, high quality paper, but they're still paper.
Huh. Is that what you were doing with all those maps that I sent you?
Maybe.
Making tote bags?
Now, a tote map bag would be extremely useful.
Would it?
Well, yeah, if you get lost.
Yeah, you can carry around your maps with it, and it itself is a map, so if you get lost, you just look at it.
Yeah, but I send her maps of, like, the Baltimore Beltway.
Right.
That really wouldn't help me here in the Pacific Northwest.
But if you're ever on the Baltimore Beltway.
Maybe you should travel to the Baltimore Beltway.
I really would rather not.
Check out their scenic walrus bear farms.
In Baltimore? They've probably stolen them.
Someone stole all those bees!
Well, the bees have been disappearing. I guess that's where they went.
Yeah, they've been eaten by walruses.
I guess. So, I've been looking at our stats, and we have a lot of hits in China, and I've always... I think this is just an aberration. I try to ignore it. But this website is from China. Maybe there's Chinese bag factory people listening to the show?
they play us while they're working in their bag labor factories.
I guess for pennies a week.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like when the documentary crew comes in to show the horrible conditions these people live in the background, you'll hear our show play.
Yep.
And that'll be some nice publicity for us.
That's free advertising.
Yeah. When you think human rights violations, think Sarcastic Voyage.
Unfortunately, they don't have Star Trek over there.
No. Post-Atomic Horror does not do very well in China. They love Tolkien, though, so we might be able to get your show over there, Laura.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The Chinese are just nuts for The Lord of the Rings.
Well, I mean, Ents travel widely over there.
I assume that's hilarious.
It was a nice try.
That's all I ask.
All right. Next one comes from Tidro. She says, Dear Al, Matt, and guest, if forced to make the following choice, what would you choose? A, the only movies you can ever watch are the Twilight films. Or B, the only music you can ever listen to is Justin Bieber. Please explain your reasoning. Love, Tidro. Who wants to take this one first?
That one seems pretty easy to me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'll take the having to listen to Justin Bieber. I really like movies.
I have never heard Justin Bieber, nor have I seen a Twilight film, so I'm not sure I'm qualified to judge this.
I would go with the movies, because I like music more than movies, I think. And I can always mute the movies and not pay attention.
That's true.
It sounds like the conditions of this kind of thing would mean that you couldn't. Like, you're kind of forced to.
I don't know, I just feel like if I'm ever going to watch a movie, like, you know, I would like it to not be
Twilight.
The same five movies.
Yeah, I don't know.
For one thing, how could I watch Mystery Science Theater?
That's true. Although they do make riff tracks for Twilight.
They do.
That's true, too.
If you're allowed to do
that, I could watch that anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know, I guess I'd take Justin Bieber just because I'm completely unfamiliar with what that guy does, and it can't be that bad, right?
He's a boy band. You've heard millions of bands.
Yeah,
just
I
like
feel
him.
Like we're on the same territory as we were last time with Nickelback.
Yeah,
it's just like he's a punchline, but I bet he's just average. Mm. Like he's not particularly bad. He's just kind of there.
Yeah,
but the same, you know, the same stuff as usual. I don't know, Laura, you have tiny children. Do they like the Bieber?
They're not allowed to listen to that.
Oh. What are they allowed to listen to?
We listen to a lot of They Might Be Giants.
No, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
You're a good mother.
I try. We've been on the Muppet movie soundtrack kick lately. So.
Also
nice.
Good.
Yeah. And just, I don't know, whatever is on my Spotify account.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I approve.
Good.
Which, yeah, I'm sure you're waiting, you know, for my approval.
Oh, finally!
Breath.
Yeah, thank God.
Laura, you'll be happy to know that you got it long before I ever did. We've been working together for years.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I have not inked that stamp the entire time I've known you.
Nope.
All right, let's listen to some voicemails.
Still in the plastic.
This one's from Flonk, so I'm sure it'll be something about you being a goat.
Dear Alan, how are you? I am fine. Why do people always start their phone call like that? It's a fucking phone call, not a letter to the editor, jackasses.
I don't think anyone has ever started a phone call like that for me, ever.
The only one who ever does it is you, Flonk.
Yeah, mostly people say, hi, how are you? But they don't, you know, they don't do, how are you, I'm fine.
I've only ever gotten that in written form.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've only done it since I met Matt and realized that that's how letters are supposed to be written. But
that is how letters are supposed to be written.
Apparently so.
That's a fact.
All right. No, it's a Matt fact, but that's almost the same thing.
That's close enough.
Yeah, I hardly get any phone calls anyway, because, you know.
Yeah, who calls people anymore?
Right. But, people just say hello. Mm-hmm. It's not.
Or in our case, Haldo.
Yes, Haldo, or Ahoy Hoy.
I like that one.
Or Yellow. I don't know, Laura, what do you think? You're more etiquette-based than any of us. Where do you fall on this?
I just stick with a general hello.
That's what I thought. It's classy. It's universal. Everyone knows what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
If I'm at work, I answer with the name of my law firm.
Right.
Right.
But that's that.
Right. Such and such injuries. Good Lord.
Injuries.
Such and such industries. How can I help you?
Yes, it's a law firm that's such and such industries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of course. All right. Next one comes from Marissa.
Hello, Al, Matt, and Laura. First things first, Jack the Destroyer wanted me to make sure that she wanted to say hi to Algar, so that's done. And here's the question. Over on Twitter right now, there's a fun conversation going on about Al and his various girlfriends. And have you actually ever given serious thought to having multiple wives and or partners, I guess, since Laura is part of this question? Andy says that it'd be really, really crazy to try to make more than one woman happy. And I think it'd be nice to have someone to help with the kids around the house. Any thoughts on your end? Bye.
All right. First of all, hello back to Jaquita. It's odd that she would want to say hello to me, but No, I mean, I guess I am friend to all children, so.
Oh, that's nice.
So my, that's a feather in my cap.
My five-year-old likes to look at your picture on Twitter. He calls you the firehead.
Well, that's fair. I can see that, but, like, the things that I say aren't particularly, you know, child-friendly.
Ron Elgar what? Popular with children.
I am friend to all children.
Elgar is my boyfriend.
Yeah. So, multiple partners. That's a bit risky.
I feel like that would probably be more trouble than it's worth.
I have ADD, so that's probably well-suited to me. I, you know, look over here, sure, why not?
I couldn't do it.
No?
No.
You never did, like, the classic Southern courting thing where you date several people and, you know, not like, seriously or anything, but, you know, you date and you
that's
the debutante thing.
Casual dating is different than having multiple partners.
That's fair.
That's...
I also feel like multiple partners is something that Pat McDonald should be calling in with something very different than what
sure
we're discussing.
I'm sure we'll hear from him any day now.
Right now. No, surprisingly, I don't have any voicemails from him, which I was kind of hoping...
Well, now how will we know how his genitals are doing?
How will we make Laura blush this time?
I'm already blushing.
Of course you are.
Well, that was really easy.
All we need to do is say Pat now, and that's all it takes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
You just know that somewhere out there he's doing something blush-worthy.
Oh, he'd probably make us blush, too.
Yeah.
Old bacon dick.
Oh, y'all have me fanning myself now.
Is that because his dick smells like bacon?
Well, he called in last week with the whole bacon bits down his pants thing. I wasn't necessarily trying to, you know. All right, next one comes from Thom, or T-Hom, as I guess I'm calling him now.
Hi, we're back. This is Tom. This is Craig. And we've got some questions for you guys. First question. Is whatever happened to Steakums? Yeah, they were delicious. Or Jell-O pudding pops. What happened to those too? That was all we got. Bye.
Steakums were not delicious. Steakums were disgusting.
What is a Steakum?
I never had Steakums.
Okay, so you were aware that there's like a Philadelphia cheesesteak is a thing.
Yes.
Like it's a type of steak sandwich.
Uh-huh.
The Steakum was sort of the spam of that.
Oh.
Sort of the pressed meat product, frozen in this case, but very basically meat, but it would stay preserved forever. It was more chemical than meat, I think.
Oh.
And just, it was fine, but, you know, it was, you took it out of the freezer and put it in the microwave. It wasn't really food as such.
So, like, let me get this straight. Does a Philly cheesesteak have, like, is it supposed to have, like, that cheese sauce stuff on it?
You know, that's a strange thing, is I lived in Philly, and they do, that is one way to serve it, officially, in Philly, is with Cheese Whiz, which I never cared for.
Oh, God.
That's
but
awful.
That is a way that they do it. The good way is to have fresh provolone.
Yeah.
Which is delicious. And
like,
really,
actual,
a really good cut of meat.
Yeah.
And grilled onions, and now I'm making myself drool.
Oh my God, that sounds good.
Yeah, they're quite tasty. But Steakum is sort of an abomination of an atrocity of an imitation of that.
Yeah, and you add Cheese Whiz to that? Oh my God.
Yeah, no, that's just not cool. I'm not, you know, the whole spam food, the whole, like, gross imitation food product thing.
Yeah.
Not really my thing.
You can get real meat.
Yeah, it's not hard.
No.
In fact, Thom lives out in the middle somewhere, so there's probably just cows. Well, I don't think the South claims where he is, and I don't think the North. He's in like Wisconsin or.
He's in those square states, isn't he?
Yeah, like Montana, maybe.
Yeah.
One of those.
I love how square you guys' states are.
Nebroming. Something like that. Yeah, I just, I don't. You got cows, man. Go kill a cow. Go eat a cow.
Go kill one and eat it.
Yeah. There's bacony cats around, apparently. Have one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Just not steak them. Well, not yours.
Okay. Not yours. I'm sure you can find a different bacony cat.
No, like feral bacon cats.
Oh, well, that's okay.
You already said your cat doesn't smell like bacon anymore anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
The flavor is gone. Now just smell, now just tastes like cat.
Well, good.
Which Alf would love, but, you know, the rest of us not so much.
Mm. It's okay. Alf's in prison now.
Well, he should be. He knows what he did. Anyway, no, steakums. If they're gone, I'm glad they're gone because they're.
Yeah, could they stay gone? That would be awesome.
I bet Nick likes them. That seems about
probably.
Right.
Probably.
Oh, I'm sure.
He'd probably come all the way over here just to have one.
That's awful.
I'm here to eat your steakums.
Nick doesn't sound like that. Nick sounds different than our character. No, for those of you who don't know, Nick, the guy who wrote in a little while ago, has come all the way to America, spent a week here in some of the, like, in New Orleans one time, in New York City another time, like, places that are famous for incredible local food, and eating at Burger King the whole time.
Mm. He had KFC in New Orleans.
I
yelled at him.
Yeah, as well you should.
That is completely unavailable in England. Oh, wait.
It's not. They have KFC in England.
Yep.
Yeah. So he probably would like steakums. Me, not so much.
No. He can have mine.
Yes.
Also my cheese whiz.
Yep.
Yep.
All right. Well, that is all the mail that we have. Laura, would you like to plug your show? Is your show happening?
Yes. We're actually recording this weekend. So
awesome.
By the time this show comes out, we might have an episode that's
excellent.
Current.
Tell the people how to find that.
That's The Girls with Glasses Talk Tolkien. We are on iTunes or at thegirlswithglasses.blogspot.com.
Or, as Jesse would say, Blagspat.
Blagspat.
She hates that I make fun of that.
I love Jesse.
Which is why we'll bring it up.
Yes, exactly. Yes, I love her as well.
Oh, her accent's so cute, and it gets worse the more she drinks.
Isn't it?
Yeah, but yours does too.
Well, yeah, but shut up.
It's an adorable drunken accent fest.
No, in fact, if you both had a couple and you record a show, then it's, you know, it's like a tour of the U.S. You can throw in somebody from, like, Boston and you got it all covered.
Oh, no. Let's not visit the Boston accent.
All right. Very well. All right. Well, that is all for us for this time. We will be back next time.
With more stuff that we do.
Yes, but for now, we're going to stop talking. Now.
From Seattle, the sarcastic capital of the world, here come the contributors. Couple number one, Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham. Couple number two, Mark Bosco and Terry Drozdak. Couple number three, Joe Keenley and Brian Lynch. Couple number four, Amanda Smith and Sabrina Snyder. It was written by Ron Algar Watt and Matt Robotham with Amanda Smith and Rob Humphreys. And here's your announcer, Bob Eubanks. Visit sarcasticvoyage.com for show notes, related links, and alternate file formats. Listener feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or to the show's voicemail, 206-973-3982. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is a trademark of Algar Productions, copyright 2012.
I just want you all to know how thrilled I am to be a part of this.
Thank you, Orson. It's a real pleasure to hear.
To be working with professionals again, and such talent. Gentlemen, you have brought a smile to one of the finest actors of his day.
Very glad to hear it, Orson. Now, if we could just move on to the...
Of course, of course. It's just very exciting to me to be working with such material. Watch out, Heathcliff. Don't eat that fishbone.
That was it, huh?
Well, I
thought this guy was supposed to be good.